Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that Wordle, that New York Times phenomena where you pick like five letters at random and you have like five or six chances to get it? Anyway, I started doing it because people are competing and you know how competitive you can get. And so before midnight, I try to figure out the word. Anyway, they can you believe this? Wordle took the word fetus off because they didn't want to be politically incorrect. So these words were all picked like, you know, years ago, and they're like all fed in. They took the word fetus off of Wordle. What if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a woke Wordle from the New York Times. Anyway, I'm covering that as bonus material because you're not going to get that in this section. In this section of this broadcast, in this particular podcast, we're covering some very powerful behind-the-scenes eyewitness reports about what's going on in Ukraine. Eyewitness reports from some like folks that are special forces and missionaries that are going in there. So I wanted to give you the inside track. And I also wanted you to meet somebody who's an extraordinary entrepreneur, who's actually a gal who's got seven businesses that is now doing the rescue operation in for orphans and for sex trafficked victims in the Ukraine with her husband, who's a Green Beret. And I want you to hear her story because she started out as a waitress living in her car. She learned how to flip houses, how to renovate houses, and then went on to buy her own island, walking it as a Christian and praying about it. Just an incredible young gal with an interesting story. Want you to hear that and so much more about what's really going on in Russia and Ukraine right now from an eyewitness who's been there. Okay, we're going to start this with, oh, by the way, I do have to say this. There are people that are asking about these things that are on the platform. Like we got our oh boy cup here, which is evidently a habit. I have to say that. People want to know about where they can get the journal I'm taking my notes in, which is my Lance Wellnow Show journal. And on occasion, depending on my mood, I do put on hats. So we have the lancewellnow.com/merch. And that's the place you can go where you can actually get a hold of a lot of the paraphernalia and the props that we have in the show. And I think you ought to do that. You ought to look forward to doing that. Let's hear a word from Donald Trump.
Basically, all I've done is keep my promise.
And we're going to keep our promise to you. We're going to make it short, powerful, and prophetic with every broadcast. You don't want to miss it. See you on the other side. Welcome, welcome to all of you that are joining us for this special edition of the Lance Wellnow Show. The show that, as you know, has been growing by leaps and bounds since you made it one of the most popular prophetic news conversations with the populist Christian movement. We don't know what it is yet. We don't know how to define the populism Christian music movement, but we know it's going somewhere. We're working our way down with 750,000 downloads a month on just this podcast alone. But what excites me most is we're honing in, Jonathan, on the top 100 spot for all newscasts. Now, we were down there for a while when we started off. Mm-hmm. I was down there in the top 40, top 50. I don't know what happened to us. I just think that we got to keep on going. It's like D'Souza and Bannon. The competition is tough, but that makes us play a sharper game. Jonathan, you have any thoughts on this?
I don't. I think we just need to continue to step our game up. We need people to like. We need people to share.
That's what I'm not doing. Review. Thanks for reminding me. Everyone else is Charlie Kirk. They watch me. They go, hey, how come you don't ask about likes and subscribes? Well, I forget to. These millennials are so sharp. Like and subscribe, please. You want to share this with your friends? And by the way, we have a special guest I want to talk about right now. Get ready to the show. Brittany Turner. And I've been observing Brittany for a long time. And she's quite a remarkable young lady. Now, I think it was North Carolina. She was a beauty pageant winner, but it's not in her bio. I had to go look it up to find this stuff out, Jonathan. You wouldn't know this. You didn't send it to me. I had to go find it. But she was like Miss North Carolina. And then she, and I heard about her because she was the big sensation in a special school that I work with, which has, which is really special forces trainers that do mission work. So they like, it's an unusual mission training thing. They assume that if you're a Christian, you might, the challenge you might have isn't really what the gospel is. The challenge might be, how do you survive in like the jungle or in extraordinary places? but because this young lady was like a bodybuilder plus loved the extreme conditions training, she got involved. She was like an unusual graduate. I said, well, what's she doing now? And they said she's running a bunch of companies and is like Entrepreneur of the Year or something, like named by Ernst & Young in 2014. Ernst & Young was winning women. For entrepreneurial woman to watch in 2014. And so that was like when she could burst on the scene with her entrepreneurial ventures. But then the next thing you know, I'm finding out that she's got all these multiple companies. I knew she bought an island or has an island somewhere. So I was thinking, what in the world is she doing? And I found out when I'm checking out who's doing stuff in Ukraine with the Russia-Ukraine coverage we're doing, mm-hmm. I find out that she's involved. So, Jonathan, you got a hold of her. I only had a chance just a second ago just to make sure we got our, you know, got her on the screen. Brittany, are you here?
I am here. Hi.
I'm so glad you're with us. So now, I mean, that was a smattering of things I know, but I'm so glad that you just told me a minute ago that you were inspired by a little talk I did at an investor's class with Peter Hahn, I think it was, a favor for Peter, years ago. But it was a Seven Mountain presentation, and you were young, and how old were you then?
I was 17 years old, and this guy comes up on stage and talks about how you think you're called by God, and you might just feel like your options are to do ministry, mission work, and all that. And I got to tell you, that God wants his people on top of the seven mountains. And he went through all that. And I was like, that's a really interesting idea. And then he came into our class and talked about how you can create cash flow, and that cash flow can fund your missions. And I thought this was the most crazy idea I've ever heard. I was going through Special Forces survival training. I planned on being this extremely hardcore missionary in the depths of Africa, and I needed to learn how to survive. And that was my plan to go do the next year. But after going on a mission trip and witnessing a child that had been sexually abused to where she was now disabled, I got on my knees and said, God, I don't want to live in a world where this is socially acceptable. And he said, I'm going to take you out of the mission field and I'm going to put you in business. And I'm not going to lie, guys, I was very upset about that because it was my identity. I thought business was boring. I had no idea the adventure God was going to be taking me on and how important those survival skills I had been learning were going to be for business.
Well, how did you end up in the Ukraine? So this totally blew my mind. It's like, I remember you from everything. I'm not thinking, what? Brittany is in the Ukraine? That's what I heard. So, but you were doing, how did hurricanes get you there? There's some story?
My whole journey is just one of extreme faith, and it's going to sound much faster and easier than it was. But after I decided to go into business, because God led me there, I bought my first house at 18, which was in 2007 when they were lending to anybody. I was a waitress. And in the process of buying that house for cash flow purposes, I found out about this thing called flipping houses and decide, well, that's what I'm going to do. What colleges teach you how to flip houses? None did. So I said, I guess I'm not going to college. Long story short, end up living in my car and working for free for some rehabbers to learn the business, starve it out for almost 3 years, finally get my first house by myself, and it finally made money. And I then became, over the next couple of years, the Forbes sixth fastest growing woman-owned company in the world, and then Fortune number 3 for fastest growing urban company, and a bunch of other really cool sounding awards. But I never did this for the awards. At the time, I thought I was building up cash flow, but I didn't realize that God was answering my original prayer, which was, how do I actually solve the problem of sex trafficking? And how do I solve the problem of desperation-rooted atrocities? And I, again, long story short, was able to use real estate development to revitalize the most broken areas on the planet. And I became really good at it, practicing in my own backyard of the southeast of America. I had a very different approach than anybody else. It wasn't about just building or developing. It was about revitalization. And after getting really good at that, I said, okay, God, you've given me this heart for Africa. How do I go from doing this in my own backyard to over there? And he said, start on islands. I was like, islands? That's interesting. And he showed me a vision of having a resort where you gather the greatest minds in the world, you put them in one room, and you create a master plan for the recovery of nations. Because we've all seen that more than enough help has gone into Haiti, but it hasn't truly fixed it in the areas that it needs help. And so why? It's because there's no plan and nobody's moving the ball forward. We're just treating topical issues. And so if it's ever been done before, it can be done again. You and I both know that. We were just talking about earth-shattering ideas and how the world is changing. If we've ever solved poverty anywhere, it can be solved anywhere. So what is that template? And you learn how to template things when you're living in your car. I'll tell you that right now. You get really organized. So I decided I'm going to buy an island, and I didn't know where. And it ends up, I found this place in the British Virgin Islands, and I was walking on it, and God was like, this is the one. And I was just walking on it as a joke. But ends up this woman from Morningstar, the same place that I met you, had actually recognized my name when I was looking at it. She saw me on something like this that Morningstar was putting out and said, God like went to her and said that Brittany is supposed to buy this island. And so that is the fastest way to tell the story, but I got it. I started fixing it up. And in the midst of doing that, Hurricanes Irma and Maria just annihilated BVI, which was really interesting because the whole time I started fixing it up, I said, God, why BVI? It doesn't need any help. I didn't realize he had pre-positioned me there to help. So in the process of going and being a first responder just to try to find my friends' bodies, because it looked like everybody was dead, I started taking notes and templating. How do you help a country recover at an accelerated rate so that they don't get into these desperate rooted issues? You know, when someone's house blows away, a lot of times people will let them, the family stay with them, but they get their daughter in exchange. And so how do we get this country back online? Because it's an emergency. So I took a lot of notes. And after that, I started going to every single disaster that would happen. And I took my media production team, and we would create documentaries that would bring in aid and show people how they can help. People see all the time they want to help, they don't know how. And all of this led me to seeing the most effective people in disaster response are our military veterans. Why? They've got tons of training. They're perfect for austere environments. So I end up marrying this Green Beret. I just married him in January, and he leads our nonprofit, which is full of military veterans. And when Ukraine happened, you know, our big thing is man-made and natural disasters. Normally we go in afterwards, though, not an active war. So instead of going in with guns, we took all of their skills and have been able to do special operations and rescue trapped orphans. And now we've expanded it to refugees after we found a mass grave, which is horrible. And within 48 hours, my team has been boots on the ground in Ukraine. We still have a team of 20, just our people, but our Ukraine force is like 80 people. And we've got an MOU with the government that gives us the rights on their behalf to go save the orphans. And so I just got back. I've actually spent 3 weeks there myself. And I'm not normally one that says the news is accurate. I'll tell you that. But I will tell you, in Ukraine, it's pretty accurate. And
so so when you say it's pretty accurate, what is the news that is accurate?
The news that's accurate is the horrors that are happening to the people. The torture, the children getting raped.
Are these Russian soldiers doing this, or is this?
No, it's Russian soldiers. It's not a normal war. This is a war of terrorism, trying to scare people into submission. And it's absolutely horrific. And when you meet these families that have experienced it or watched people get tortured, and the orphans that watch their caretakers get brutally murdered right in front of them. And the, my husband says it best. He says, you know, war gives guys like me PTSD. He says that I've trained for this and I've been in the Army for 20 years and I'm messed up from it. What is this doing to children? And so we have been very blessed to just have these, you know, veteran soldiers be willing to put their life on the line and go out there and do these special missions.
All right. So what is a special mission? So if we're going to direct people to help you out, what kind of activities are you involved with?
So I can only tell you so much, obviously.
Well, I know. I mean, it's a character. I don't need to know what city you're going into, what address, but yeah, I mean, I in general, like you find a mass grave. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. So we don't. We hear about atrocities, but then the problem with news in America, as you know, is that it has such a lousy reputation that even when we hear both the right and the left agree on something, we got a whole lot of Americans that go, well, now I'm definitely not sure what's going on, because at least I used to listen to Tucker and, you know, didn't, but now I can't, don't even know if I can trust Fox. So there's total confusion as to whose atrocity story is valid. And it's all anti-Russian. So that creates a problem in America too, which is like, well, what's the story with Russia in this thing? So explain to me what you're seeing.
When they say it's Putin's war, that's the most accurate thing we can share. Now, I don't know if Putin is telling people to go rape people. That's when I start to argue that issue. But I can tell you from boots on the ground experience, the Ukrainians do not in any way, shape or form want Russia to take over an inch of their land. And they're all willing to die for it. And I have seen young, old, I mean, there's like an entire little army of old ladies that are trying to fight. They're doing everything they can and they're under-resourced because it's Ukraine versus Russia. They're underutilized, but they have a resiliency that has even allowed them to fend off the Russians. They have a great leader they all are really united around, because he's been so firm on, you're not taking our ground and we will die before you do. So it's been really impressive how this tiny nation compared to Russia has been able to keep them fended off the way that they have. But there has been so many deaths. And when a normal war, it's army fighting army. In this situation, the reason I say it's different is it's army fighting civilians, army killing civilians.
Which explains the atrocities, because the military then just says, well, the heck with it. We're going to target this city.
Yeah,
and they'll
just,
they'll go in and just, you know, literally bomb the hell out of it and round up the college president or whoever and make symbolic martyrs out of people. But
the mass grave had children and youth that with their arms tied behind their back. And their ears cut off. A lot of them were raped. Obviously, we're not checking for a lot of that, but you can tell. And they're just bodies piled and piled. And it's absolutely horrifically disgusting. And I'm so grateful it's gotten this amount of news around it, because people care. Obviously, when the news leaves, a lot of times people stop caring. And they need the support in order to continue to maintain their country. And if they get Ukraine, they're not going to stop Ukraine.
So when you get people that are, so how do you, what are you doing? You're helping people to get out, obviously, to Poland, to Hungary, to what are they?
So it depends. Ukraine is about the size of Texas. And if we can keep the refugees can leave, they're adults, they have control of their children, they can go. But the orphans are government controlled. So it's actually much better if they can go to very far away from the fighting locations that are safe. And that has allowed us to stop the sex trafficking that has happened. Very sadly, a lot of places are saying this is open season or harvest season for kidnappings and stealing and fake opportunities for people that are drug into human trafficking and sex trafficking. I mean, think about it. It's women and children left alone without the man around because the man is forced to stay and fight. So if you leave the country, you're actually at a greater danger a lot of times. If you can keep them safely in the country, that's ideal, especially if they're orphans. We have taken them out to those locations you mentioned and other places, but that has all been stamped and approved and documented. Really early on, there was 10,000 missing orphans, and we are currently looking to find them. So the missions that we are doing is anti-sex trafficking rescue missions to go in and get people out of war zones and bring them to safety. We are also safeguarding them, and we are bringing in supplies. We have partnership with Global Empowerment Mission, who organizes and gets all the aid, but we are bringing it in, setting it into warehouses and distributing it to the areas that need it most. And so it's a nightmare. And we pray every day that this war stops and God moves on hearts, but from the Russians we've talked to, a lot of them don't approve of this war. Obviously they've got their fake news going on, which is not helpful. But it seems like it's Putin's war.
And, I pray every day, you know, my perspective is the Biden administration is so incompetent that I worry about how they escalate it, because I mean, they can't even be clandestine. They're supposed to do stuff. They got $40 billion they're putting out there. So what do you think that's doing? It's buying technology. We're not putting people in there necessarily. So you got drones. Then the drones shoot down a Russian ship. And then you got people crowing in Washington about how they shot down a Russian ship through drones that was supposed to not even be discussed. It's that kind of stupidity that gets America drawn in. We have to de-escalate this as quickly as possible. We have to push this thing into not more war, but less war. And the sooner we do that, the better. And so you're helping with the orphans. You're helping get people out of the military zone. You've obviously got special forces type people, so it's different than your typical missionary, which is true. You don't want someone wandering around and they're like a CNN reporter with a helmet, doesn't know what they're doing. So how can people keep in touch with you, Brittany? What can they do to get behind you and stay connected to your mission?
Yeah, thank you. We've gone into straight humanitarians. We have the skill sets of the special forces, but we don't have any guns on any of our missions. So it is covered with prayer. So the best way you can help us is to continue to cover us in prayer. Aerialrecovery.com is how people have been able to support the missions. We can stay out there as long as the missions are supported.
All right, how do you spell that? It's what, recovery.com?
AERIAL. recovery.com, and you are supporting funding veterans to go out there. And the fun thing too, and how I've seen God work through this, is it's repurposing veterans and showing them they still have meaning and impact, and they can use the same skills to save lives now. So it's been amazing to watch God work through every piece of this. But our mission is to save lives, eliminate confusion, and accelerate recovery. And so we are very, very, we didn't no idea this would keep going this long. I don't think anybody did, but every single day it requires more. It just requires more. This is not about to end. So keep praying, pray this ends, pray that it doesn't keep going, and pray God uses it for good. In the meantime, our goal is to protect the innocent. If Ukraine was attacking Russia, we would be in Russia helping safeguard innocent people.
Amen.
Russia.
I love it. Brittany, you've got such an inspiring story, from living in a car to working for free to learn how to do rehab, to owning your first house, to while waitressing, to walking an island, to owning an island, to starting seven businesses. If people want to get in touch with your story and be inspired by your journey, where do they go to find out about you?
Ooh, BrittanyTurner.com is an easy one. I've got a lot of resources on there. I've got a podcast. I've got Instagram, YouTube, all the stuff, guys.
And it's part of my mission to make the right people famous. That's my tagline. We make the right people famous. We make best-selling authors and celebrities on our show. I can't think of a better person to be mentoring a new generation of heroic believers than Brittany Turner. Have to meet your husband. And for now, we'll keep him off the screen so he's not identified. But at some point, we got to talk to him too.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Lance.
God bless you, Brittany. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for all you've done in my life.
Thank you. Isn't that exciting, Jonathan? You see the adventures that await you. You too can have an island, Jonathan.
One can dream. I hope so. Hey, I will receive that. I will receive that in my life, to own an island.
Well, I'll tell you what, that girl is just amazing all the time. But I really do want to talk to her about her, what she's discovered about investing in turnaround neighborhoods. I mean, obviously, it's more than just flipping a house. Mm-hmm. It's about creating infrastructure in a neighborhood and how to transform it. And all you out there, I'm sure you're inspired. Because you know she's at that age, which is, for me, it's like looking at this stage in my life. Even though I don't look like it, I actually have children that are in that age bracket. So I look at them and go, "Ha, it's the next generation coming along." It really blesses me to see that. And for those of you that are interested in living life at that level. As she said, and I didn't know this, but she had heard me talk about Seven Mountains years ago. So what I want you guys to do is go to level10living.com. Take a look at all the resources that are there, because level10living.com is what Brittany's talking about. It's about defining what it is that God's called you to do and then pursuing it without a sense of restriction or limitation. And I want to find out what the story is about that lady that told her about that island, or God confirmed that maybe she was a business partner or something that helped her. But there are divine appointments awaiting people that are willing to believe that God has called them to something more than survival. I am still impacted by this Jesse Duplantis testimony I heard recently, where he was driving around and couldn't afford gasoline in his car. And I heard a jet going overhead. And Jesse said, the Lord spoke to him and said that you're going to have a jet like that. And right away, Jesse said, "Lord, how am I going to pay for a jet like that? I don't even have money for gas." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "I didn't tell you you had to pay for it. I said, believe for it." There's some of you that are trying to figure out how to do something. God didn't tell you to figure that out. He said he wants you to believe for it, and then God will bring you the people that know how to do it. Let me say that again. Some of you have big dreams, delayed dreams, stuff that you're willing to put aside, and you got to know now's the moment. That's why in an earlier broadcast, we looked at the Kentucky Derby. It was a weird story, but it's a great story. It's about Rich Strike, or Strike Rich, Rich Strike, whatever the name of that. It's like Strike It Rich. This horse was a $30,000 horse, the kind of horse you'd buy that, you know, not even for serious purposes if you're a horse breeder, when there's million-dollar horses you're going to put into these Kentucky Derbies and all these other, high-stakes races. The guy lost 24 or so horses in a fire. He couldn't afford anything. He just went and got a random horse, entered it in the Derby. He didn't qualify, but one canceled. And he got it in at the last 20 minutes and ends up in the worst position running. And the horse shocks everyone. It was built for this. Level10living.com is the life research I've done for 35 years on horses like that. Because human beings are like that. You can be, no one knows who you are. You may be overlooked. You may be in your last, ready to quit. Now's the moment. When you get in the race and you come from the worst position to, and nobody even covered this, or what was funny is listening to the announcer. He's going about, you know, and then there's epicenter is Andon's ambulance, simplification. Then all of a sudden this Rich Strike pops in out of nowhere and he catches it at the last minute. I'll tell you what, God will show you where the hidden treasure is if you'll put yourself out to find it. Brittany's story inspired me with her determination to master skills. She created the world the way she wanted it, from an island to unemployed to living in a car. She worked with whatever was there and adapted and innovated. That's what special forces do, adapt and innovate. Don't kvetch and victimize. That's what Americans do. Level10living.com. Go there now and see why this is the number one preeminent prophetic personal development course in the whole world. The number one best-selling prophetic personal development course in the entire world. Go get it. Level10living.com. And this is the moment, Jonathan, when we come to you and say, if people want to ask questions, to our program.
Yes.
They go where?
AskLanceNow.com.
AskLanceNow.com?
Correct.
And they can ask anything they want.
Oh, yeah. Ask any questions they want, any topics they'd like us to cover, any breaking news that we may have missed or not gotten to.
That's right.
That is a great opportunity to bring us aware.
I love it. And send me some comedy sketches, comedy ideas. I'm working on one now. I want to do a song on disinformation. And I mentioned to somebody, I want to do Funiculi Funicula. I think it's a dun da 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 dun. So somebody sent me some, they sang it for me and sent it to me in a video. I just watched it. It's hilarious. Send me the lyrics to disinformation, or if you can think of a melody that I could put a disinformation song to. Because I promised Flashpoint I was going to do a song. Because we have, people don't know this, but I used to be a pianist and a worship leader. And so I'm thinking also of the Werewolves of London. So Jonathan, I learned how to play it this weekend. Dun, 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 dun. That's about the Werewolves of London. Because Werewolves of London sounds like disinformation or misinformation. So it kind of syllabically, it works out to like, if I can get a five-syllable word that goes into a song. Well, Werewolves of London. So if you guys want to send me some Werewolves of London lyrics that can work with, you know, we got low-hanging fruit. We got the Russian, the Russian dossier. We got the Biden laptop. We got the January 6th, what are they calling it, insurrection. We got the election. We got 2,000 mules. Anything that has to do with disinformation, working into lyrics, you send it to me at the Ask Lance. Now.com. I'll give you credit for it. You might even get a bonus surprise. Now, don't be expecting money because you're going to probably get a level 10. You're going to get my autograph level 10, which, by the way, is like a $300 kit, I think. All right, here's where we have to end the broadcast right now. I even have Jonathan giving me hand signals, all the indignities. This is why I do my best broadcast by myself in a bathrobe when the studios, we're going to land the plane here and see you tomorrow. God bless.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world. See you tomorrow.